show. Hello, listeners to the show. I do apologise. We had some technical issues during our live recording on the Facebook page. So instead of re-recording, Kirby has managed to salvage some audio files from the actual video that we put out on Facebook. This is why there's a reduction in audio quality, but we have had episodes in the past in which our audio quality hasn't been the best. So it's up to you if you want to continue listening to this episode. We hope you do, but this is the episode as it is, thanks to Facebook and to Kirby.
APP Services, Lavazzi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 311. I'm Adam and... And here's Debbie Melrose.
Every time we go anywhere, something awful happens.
Andy Nunny.
I've been dying to get my hands on one of those things.
Or one of these things. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
It's a sonic screwdriver.
Yes, I've got one here. This is a 12th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver.
Yeah, oh, it's not working. First appearance of the Sonic Screwdriver.
It's not working. Oh, it is now. Oh, no, it stopped. Oh, my Sonic Screwdriver has failed. Oh, it's working again now. It's very good for making...
I don't have a Sonic Screwdriver.
Oh, here we go.
They don't make sounds. They were free with a magazine.
Anyway, this week...
Happy Father's
Day.
Yes,
Happy Father's Day, everybody. This week we're going to be...
Father's Day will be over.
Be quiet. This week we're going to be looking at Fury from the Deep.
Mary will be joining us shortly.
Mary will be joining us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to work. But anyway, all right.
Are you sure this is called Fury from the Deep and not Attack of the Washing Machines with the Lids Left Open?
Well, the rather startling Battle of the Giants.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Seeds of Death. I'm just watching the footy, and the Swiss player's got his shirt ripped open at the back. Anyway.
That happened in rugby yesterday. Dan Cole lost his entire shirt, and it's playing his desk.
Yeah, but the weird thing about it being football, Andy, is that the player is still running around playing football instead of rolling around on the floor going, ouch.
No, that's football, isn't it?
I've just said bloody football. It's right, Debbie.
Dan Cole played on without his shirt. I've seen players play without his shirt being ripped off, and it's not a pretty sight.
No, it is not.
Right, anyway. Moving on.
It's not a pretty sight for me downstairs at the operation. I mean, if I said, like, being a label, I think you might understand what I mean.
Oh.
Yes, it's getting quite interesting, yes.
Scott Erlandson's joined our vast array of viewers, all four or three at the moment. And hello to Ashley Hughes, ever regular, and Robin, I'm watching the football, hands down. Yeah. Right, so moving on. Oh, he's got a new shirt now, number 18, is actually.
I don't like football.
I don't care. Right. So, Debbie's going to help me with this one because I'm very, very tired. I haven't had a lot of sleep. I haven't recovered from the Isle of Wight Festival yet because I still haven't had a lot of sleep
you
since
seemed
then.
A little bit grumpy this morning.
No, I was fighting with a Scottill who wasn't accepting notes. And I was trying to...
Scottill. One of the silly pills at work wasn't working very well, and I had to turn up halfway through said debacle.
I said hello to you.
Yeah, I went, hello, boss.
I didn't. I said, hello. Don't pay attention. Anyway, it was not accepting notes, and the reason why it wasn't accepting notes is because the note compartment was full, and there was no way I could empty it, because we had nowhere to put the notes, so I had to leave it in as a card-only machine. What?
Pocket. What do you mean, your pocket?
Anyway, right. So, Debbie's going to help me with the synopsis of this particular story. Be quiet! Debbie's going to help me with the synopsis of this particular story. Sorry, I'm distracted by the football. Because I watched the first... Shut up! Let me finish the bloody sentence! Because the first half I watched of the story I watched last week, and the second half I watched last night and this evening. Mm-hmm. So the second half is fresher than the first half. So Debbie's going to help me with the synopsis, but I will get going as the Doctor and his crew arrive in the TARDIS as it is descended onto the sea.
Descent.
Be quiet. Is descended onto the sea from a piece of string. It's a very novel way of landing on the sea. And yeah, sorry, it was yes, Debbie.
Will happen again.
Yes, it will. And of course, they have to. Do they have to get to the shore by a sort of dinghy?
It's a dinghy. They're all wearing a life jacket.
How did they launch the dinghy? Where do they find it from? It has a launch. It'll be in the book. You know what the TARDIS is like? Does it matter? It's Doctor Who.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. I just took it as read that they got it from somewhere in the TARDIS.
It is guaranteed.
That's what I'm thinking.
They put it out the door and then they inflate it.
Pardon, Kirby?
Yeah, but without flooding the console room then.
Yeah. Never mind.
We've seen the TARDIS sitting on wall.
Do you believe in life after love?
Kirby, we didn't get a word
of that. Inside me fear.
We've seen the TARDIS landing on water before, is what he said.
Yes, it doesn't matter, though, does it? Anyway, we just spent about half an hour talking about the first few seconds of the episode. So they go to shore. Yes?
Great reflection of your glasses, Adam, by the way.
Thank you. They go to shore and they very quickly find a pipe, which the Doctor uses a sonic screwdriver. The only trouble with this sonic screwdriver is it's easy to hold the one I've got in my hand, the wrong end. Because that's the correct end. No, it's not working, game. No, it's not. Oh, there we go.
Broken
already. No, working. Oh, doesn't work that well that way, yeah.
Turn around,
oh.
Try and open the door with it.
It's not working.
It doesn't work. It doesn't have a wood setting.
I like
oh, it's working now.
Give it a smack.
It doesn't like the... Oh, it does now. There you go. That's the one that's difficult to get to go. It's really quite funky and disco-y. So, sonic screwdrivers. Yes, the first mention of the... Do you know... We forgot to mention what they actually used the sonic screwdriver for in this particular instance. It's probably the only time it was to actually undo screws.
Mm-hmm. Sonic, I like the way he explained it. Never fails. Neat, yeah. Isn't it? All done by sound waves.
Yes, and it undoes screws.
Yes, you can go to the loo either. Go on.
What's that got to do with it?
I don't remember him saying that.
No. Yes, you can go to the loo either. Yeah.
So, yeah, they...
You've got a little missing episodes.
They essentially get arrested, don't they, by the guards?
They get shot.
Well, what, stunned?
Three of them get shot with tranks, yeah.
With tranks.
He shot like bullets.
It did look like it for the way the Doctor grabbed his shot.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so they're accused very quickly of tampering with the gas.
We should mention the Doctor used the stethoscope as well as the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, but the stethoscope's not as interesting as the sonic screwdriver.
No, that was a pretty iconic moment.
Then we meet Robson, who I kept on looking at him and thinking, oh, that's that bloke from the Dick Emery show. I couldn't get it out of my head from the whole of the time he was in it. And he's quite rude, isn't he?
What's he been in?
The Dick Emery show. I just mentioned that. Did I not just mention Debbie? Yeah,
How am I supposed to know that?
Well, I thought you would have looked it up by now.
Well, if you go on YouTube and Google the Dick Emery show and him, you probably end up with a clip.
Because Dick Emery.
Not Dick Emery.
English comedian.
Very saucy.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
That's enough about Andy. We're talking about Dick Emery. He's in the sort of same realm as Benny Hill, really. He's a BBC's the BBC's answer to Benny Hill, I think you could say. Dick Emery was. What did he say? You want some what?
Andy's just been bought some apple pie, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the guy who played Chekhov in the new Star Trek.
Yeah, he's died. Yes.
Dead.
Yes. 27 years old.
Have you seen how old he was?
27 years old.
He just said that.
Right. It's a dangerous age, that. You get past that, you laugh.
Another celebrity goes, yes.
Yeah, he got pinned between his car that was still revving and his postbox or something.
Good Lord.
Freak accident, they're calling it. But we digress.
Now, have you noticed now we're starting to get immune and not affected so much by celebrity deaths this year because it happens so blooming often?
It's happened so much.
And I'm a bit worried because we haven't had any major Doctor Who celebrity passings this year, so I'm a bit worried.
How the hell is Keith Richards still alive?
Oh, right.
I mean, all these people going, Keith Richards is still alive. It's like the Queen Mom, they work it by dreams.
He's being kept alive by the phone creature.
Who, Keith Richards?
Yes.
I'm sure there's going to be some sort of cryptic... comedy answer to this one.
I posted a link to the Rolling Stones.
Hello, Isla. Hey, everybody. Isla is on the podcast.
I posted a link to the official music video for It's Only Rock and Roll, where the Rolling Stones are inside this tent with all this foam coming in.
Excellent. Now, can we talk to Isla?
You've seen that. You must have seen it.
No, I didn't.
Of course, according to the website, it's Isla Nels Rose.
Is this the microphone?
Hello, Isla.
Hello, Isla. Don't be scared by Andy. He just talks loudly by way of being Andy.
Thank you. I love you too, Adam.
They've had that. Isla, speak for goodness sake. Yes?
Do you want to go to bed?
Yes.
But what do you think about what's your favourite monster?
At Kirby.
Adam.
What's your worst monster?
Adam.
Shut up.
Shtinarada. Oh, sorry, not allowed to say it. No, it scares you. Bashtinarada.
Why do you say it then?
Because it makes her go freaked.
Why don't say it then?
It's all right, Isla. I'm bad, Mum. Where's Daddy? Go on, go upstairs. Say goodnight.
Night, Isla.
Night, Isla. Sleep.
And well done for getting managing to get Kirby to shut up. Right then.
Well, I've probably given her nightmares again. It took weeks to get over the last.
By the way,
spot.
Alan T. Butcher can't stay because the football's on. It's Switzerland versus France.
No, he can. It's Robin can't.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, darling, he's upstairs. Oh. Go on.
Aring. Right, can we get on?
Yes.
So, yes.
The usual happens. Everyone goes, oh, goodness me, you're saboteurs. Let's lock you up.
Yes. This has happened and still happens in Doctor Who. They get accused.
Yeah, he walks straight out of his prison cell and straight in, and everyone accepts it, don't they?
Yeah, essentially, Victoria, yes. Picks the lock. I like that.
Well, yeah, with the hair bit. Yeah.
But
have you noticed with this story? Obviously, they've lined up for Victoria to leave, but she's instantly afraid of everything. It's much more intense in this story right from the get go.
Yeah, she's fed up of it all.
She's very good in this story.
She is very good in this story.
I tell you what, it reminds me of Tegan in Resurrection, the way she left. It's certainly the end. It's almost like she's had enough. That's it. I can't talk longer. My wife said, oh, I've licked the plate. I've licked the plate. Thank you, darling. But the way Victoria leaves is exactly the same that Tegan leaves, where she says, look, I've had enough, I can't cope with it anymore.
That's because lots of good people died in that particular story. We'll come into that one in a few years' time. Debbie, please pick up on the story. See if we can actually get a bit further than the first couple of seconds, because I wanted to get this done by 9:30.
Robson's assistant is trying, he's trying to point out to Robson that they need to investigate why the pressure's down and why the gas isn't coming through and why then they can't get hold of Rig D and everything's going
to pot. Was that Rigsby, rising damp?
Yeah. And
Rig D, that was.
And so Harris phones his wife and asks, well, no, he finds his wife and asks her to go and find his file that he thinks he brought into the office with him but was mysteriously taken out of his bag by gloved hands. And she goes to find in his desk, and it's on his desk with seaweed in it.
Well, how messy is that, leaving seaweed? Yeah. Or does he just like, is it Japanese food that they like seaweed, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah, but it's surprising seaweed because it stings her.
Yes.
I wonder what that actual name of stinging seaweed is.
Fred. That's one of the Kirby's more funnier statements, and that definitely deserves one of these.
Your daughter is stinging seaweed.
Yeah, when she throws it out the window onto the patio, as Loose Cannon kept calling
me. Tell you what, talking of Loose Cannon, Debbie, this blooming reconstruction was absolutely superb.
Fantastic, even though it was mostly...
really was, yeah, I know.
It was, I really enjoyed it.
Just kept going, yeah. It just kept going.
Obviously, it did help having the odd clip here and there, but yeah, all funny. In all...
I don't know who produced the reconstruction I was watching, but it was good.
The one I liked was, it was a quick cut between pictures, so obviously, kept your attention. It's probably,
yes.
You stay on the tape picture for a minute and you get bored.
There were a couple of bits like that when there was some running and Jamie was looking for things. But yeah, that was very rare this time. Whereas
I understand in a few weeks there's going to be a story that only has like six telesnaps.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is.
Space pirates, probably.
That's okay. Awkward.
Yeah, but I mean, I know we jumped ahead a bit, but do you notice in the helicopter, it's a bit like Seventh Doctor. He kept swapping seats, and they swapped the pictures over.
Oh, yeah.
One side or the other. Oh. Yeah. But I suppose, you know, it's what they did to keep the story going. But I think they did very well by changing the picture to keep your interest going.
Yeah, because that was a very long flight sequence. I mean, they put the animation and everything so you could show you flying.
Well, I watched 4 episodes at home. I watched 2 episodes in hospital yesterday afternoon, waiting for the operation. I think I should have watched it afterwards, with it, you know, being spaced out.
That would have been really cool.
It would have been, yeah, really very...
Yes, watching a space adventure spaced out has got to be quite cool.
Well, the pink elephant certainly enjoyed it.
Deb?
Yeah?
Can we please try and get back to the synopsis and speed it up a little bit, because they are really putting the brakes on it at the moment. Oh, the screwdriver just went off.
Meanwhile, Van Lutyens is back on the supply boat from the control rig, and apparently all the men are tense on the rigs out there, but Robson is digging his heels in, saying he spent 4 years on a rig without a break. You know, what's wrong with him? But Van Lutyens is just there for the Dutch government, but he gets ribbed a lot by Robson taking the mickey out of him. And this is where Jamie and the Doctor and Victoria are basically out of their cell, for want of a better word. I think they're just locked in someone's cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor sends Victoria back to the bunk room, sort of lining her up for the next big sequence. But Maggie, meanwhile, is not feeling very well.
Talking of Maggie, Debbie, was it just me that felt that... that Maggie and Harris, was it, were the most least convincing married couple in the history of Doctor Who?
Yes, darling, can I get you some food or a glass of milk? You're obviously in need of nourishment as you're lying there looking pale and pasty. Yes, darling, oh, darling. They were very, very 1940s, 50s.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does rush around being very cross about her being poorly for most of the
story.
Meanwhile, in the oxygen room, a man
Good lord.
This was Roy Spencer's second Doctor Who story.
Mm-hmm.
He played Frank Harris, but he was also Maniac at the Ark.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in the oxygen room,
we continue.
A man in a mask, which is relevant later, is opening the valves on the cylinders of all the oxygen. But Victoria goes in there to hide from Harris, who's going to see his wife, and turns off all the valves. But then somebody triggers an emergency ventilator switch, and all this gas comes in, and
Someone farted.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Not on this occasion.
The foam from the previous story is used again. Yeah. They must have bought a lot of bubble bath, because it was copious amounts of foam and sea foam pouring through. And then Victoria starts doing her marvellous screaming after seeing a creature, and that's the end of one.
Good old leather lungs, they called, didn't they?
But the good thing about that is, looking at later on in the story, we wonder, you know, has she been sort of stung or taken in by, but of course she hasn't been, because she's been screaming and saving herself that way. And I think that was quite a clever twist to the storyline.
Yeah, because when Jamie finds her, he thinks she's unconscious, and the marvelous Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill, who turn up in part two, after Maggie is offered her glass of milk by her husband.
Yeah.
There's foam all over the patio.
Yes, a messy man.
And Maggie keeps opening the door, screaming at it, and slamming the door shut for some reason.
I reckon Maggie's screams don't have any effect on it. Only Victoria. Oh, of course, it was a specific tone of Victoria's scream, yes.
Yeah, it was her specific scream.
Leather lungs, didn't it?
Leather lungs.
Yeah.
But they're talking also, back in the compound, they're talking about the fact that it could be anything, and there's a huge gasometer under the earth which could act like an echo chamber. And I wondered if they'd use that more than anything later on, but that doesn't seem to get mentioned other than going along the pipeline, so I guess it must be something to do with that.
It's amazing how Robson just refused to admit that it's a heartbeat or something of that, you know. Everyone else is hearing it, he's adamant. No, it's not, it's just the impeller's faulty, the pump's faulty. I mean, for God's sake, mate, if you've been working this long, that experience, What did it take convince you that this is something going
years,
on?
30
yeah,
years.
I know. And yeah, 30 years you held that. So he goes, boom, 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 boom. It's a fucking heartbeat. You know, how much more do you need?
I think Robson gives Harris and the Doctor 1 hour to...
Oh, that's one of the
questions.
Yeah, better check. Yeah, they get 1 hour to investigate and to go back and find his folder, I think, and to look after, to look after Maggie. And then
nobody should bet on me winning.
Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill.
Yeah.
Who are wonderful.
Oh, the pair they really are.
Sorry, I've got I laughed.
Very camp, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Very, very James Bondy. Mm. Yeah, Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill arrived to apparently maintain the gas oven in the kitchen of the Harris's house. Mm. And basically, they then come into Maggie's room while she's trying to work out why she can't deal with light. And Mr. Quill breathes gas all over her. Which is quite a
great
picture. Yeah, they do actually. Yeah, because you've got the different teeth showing in the pictures. Yeah, but it's quite creepy. How
which is why
the Australian. Shut up! I'm just leaning back in my chair.
I'm not surprised because it was very creepy. It was one of those. I mean, I was lucky to talk to a customer the other day who saw my key ring on my bag as I was leaving, and she said that she remembered from what was the previous story. The Web of Fear, she remembers from that, but I said, well, we reviewed that last time when we were reviewing Fear from the Deep. She went, oh, that was so scary when I was little. She was lucky to talk to someone, but yeah, she remembered them breathing.
On you didn't copy of it,
no, unfortunately not. I did say we are watching pictures, and she said, well, that image of the man breathing,
scary. You're right, that was quite, even the picture was quite scary, so yeah.
No, it's meanwhile we've got Van Lutyens is trying desperately to get Mr. Harris to take over because Robson's obviously not listening and won't listen. And now they can't raise Seerig. And then Victoria, Jamie and the Doctor and Harris arrive to find Maggie unconscious in a gas-filled house. And the reason they know about the gas is because Jamie sneezes. He seems to be a good sign that if there's gas about, because he always seems to sneeze. Just
yeah.
He just like, oh, it's gas, quick, break the windows. Meanwhile, in the Impeller room, we've got problems. The Impeller is only down to 140 revs, and they think something might be jamming it at the base, and they spend about the next 3 episodes deciding to go and look down it. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. They find some seaweed on the floor. Is it in Harris's house they find seaweed? And Victoria points it out and it moves. She swears it moves.
I don't know, but I would say, though, Robson's attitude to this whole thing, I think being in Europe, the European thingy would never allow an attitude like that from a boss.
No. The way he goes on about evening classes in The Hague and things like that, to poor guy.
Oh, yeah. He's such a rage, isn't he? He's amazing, isn't he?
Mm.
He's just old school.
Yeah.
And I think actually Megan Jones, head of the board, who turns up after Harris calls her in episode 3, she refers to him as being, sort of, he's not set in ways, but he's, I can't remember what she says about him. Stalwart or something, and
I can't remember what someone says. And
I know, I'm sorry. There's lots of things going on at the same time, and I've had the Crimson Aura again this week, so it's been a bit of a hard.
Can't you take something for that? Stop getting it.
Yeah, I'm on antibiotics, and Tom's going to get tested for being a carrier because
of course.
He's not had it the 3 times me and Isla have had it, and the doctor's sending us Isla and I to hospital to. See if we've got it permanently and it just turns up every now and
then. Listeners, she's talking about the Crimson Aura, not
Crimson
Scarlet
Aura,
Fever.
Yeah.
She's actually got the Crimson Aura.
The doctor puts the seaweed in a bag, then they take it back to the... Where do they take it to? They take it to the TARDIS. Yeah, they go all the way back to the TARDIS.
Conveniently on the beach, but the
middle of the story is back. Do you believe in life after love?
feel something inside. Yes?
He's back now. Right, back.
We heard you. We heard you. You just went.
Yeah, it was conveniently on the beach. But right. Later it's floating again.
Yeah, it goes back and forth.
We talk about your audio again.
Excuse me?
Never mind, get fed on with it, Dave.
Jamie and Victoria helping the doctor do tests on the seaweed. And Jamie noticed little wriggly things, to be quote him, on the molecular movement through the...
What amazed me is the doctor's comments about molecular movements, both Jamie and Victoria understood it completely, what he's talking about.
Well, there's a later reference as well where Victoria says about Jamie asleep, oh, nothing awake other than a bomb dropping. And I was like, really?
How would she know about bombs dropping
from the Victorian age? They certainly have developed a lot and become more up to date. I mean, I think that's why she could not go at the end.
She felt uncomfortable in her own
Body. Yeah, but she was so completely out of place and... I suppose Jamie went back because, of course, he had memory wipes.
Mm.
Pardon?
Jamie went back.
Oh, his memory wipes. Yeah. This is another story, though, Andy. We haven't got there yet. Sorry, Debbie, you haven't seen that one, have you?
No, I haven't, but I knew what happened. Yeah. I'm okay with what happens with a lot of things, but I just haven't seen a lot of Doctor Who. So, I'm nowhere near the level you guys are, but I absolutely adore
her. Yeah, she wins most of the quizzes.
it's just brilliant. I love Doctor Who, so there you go. Van Lutyens would close...
Since you're going to win this week, we know you love it.
I enjoyed it. I must say, even though we're going to do a review, I did enjoy this one. I thought it was brilliant. It had just the right level of menace in it for me, this one. Even though it was a copious use of... bubble bath again. I want to bath Isla one day with enough bath foam to fill the room and just come in and start quoting Robson at her. That would be so cool.
She might not notice. She probably snuck out of her, without you noticing her.
Yeah, well, I'll be having fun. I don't care.
Yeah, she's probably charging down the road.
God, Mum's gone mad. She's quoting Doctor Who.
No change there?
No, there's no change.
Anyway, back to the blooming story.
The Doctor identifies the seaweed monster in his Book of Legends and Superstitions because the picture in it was supplied by, I think, mariners in the North Sea in the 18th century, and Jamie gets all like, ooh, it's my time. And then suddenly Jamie sneezes again because the seaweed is escaping from the tank. But Victoria screams and it drives back into the tank. I mean, obviously we notice this a lot quicker than the Doctor does. Because I wrote it down saying Victoria's screams drove away the seaweed monster in the end of episode one. And yeah, it was like, why are you going to take until episode six to realise this and then spend 5 minutes fighting it? I knew it was going to happen because it happens every time they work out how to deal with something and then they do it really quickly. And it's like, no, please. Sorry, that's my rant. But they go back, Robson decides to...
Nice spider walk across my wall. There we go. It's only about half an inch long. He's going up past the... he just walked across the Perth Railway to get. He's now going round the railway.
What are you talking about?
A spider.
Oh, a spider. We got foxes in our... Debbie, we got some baby foxes in our back garden.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
they're cute.
Had them in... they're in the reservoir behind us, and they've been fighting in our garden quite regularly.
If you see its mother, the mother hasn't got a tail and it limps around a lot, so it might be just...
Yeah, she's been hit by a car, I think.
Aww.
Yeah, she's not in a good way.
But last year she didn't have a tail.
She's had litter, litter after litter.
Yeah, I know, but she looked a lot healthier last year, even without a tail. Well, now she's limping around.
Yeah, she's well. We digress. Robson's going mad about being in charge and everyone trying to...
Oh, he's lost it completely, hasn't he? Right now. He really has.
And then he decides to... I think he just goes to have a rest or... Does he just go off to have a rest? And then Mr. Oak locks the door and opens the ventilation hatch and allows the foam and the creature through into Robson's, and then he freaks out and escapes. And they basically spend the next couple of episodes trying to find him. But he heads down to the beach. But meanwhile, Jamie...
Everyone lives.
Yes, I'll talk about this one.
And he meets Mrs. Harris and she goes for a swim and it's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, no, that was a bit... You knew she was going to go under the water, but the pictures were...
Yeah,
Why should he drown? He should go to the beach, fully clothed. You know, you get soaking wet, that's it, bumps, you're gone, sorry.
Meanwhile, Jamie is sneezing again when the gas hits him at the Harris residence this time. The place is full of foam, and they think that Mrs. Harris is gone. And the seaweed monster there is frightened by Victoria screaming again. And then Jamie gets stuck on the table in the kitchen, so there's a very comedic moment of getting him out through the skylight, which is quite funny and probably was even funnier if you could see the full thing, because the way he's screaming like a girl. And all you can hear is Victoria going, "Oh, Jamie!
So I number 10's had his shirt ripped now. I tell you, the shirts of these Swiss players aren't very well made, are they? I'm not buying one of them kits.
Yes? You're the one who keeps telling us that we're getting off the subject.
Yes, but that I'm only slightly, and then we're straight back onto it. Back on with it, Deb.
I'm getting slightly worried about Adam's homophobic, your homoerotic tendencies.
Beg your pardon?
Your homoerotic tendency. You know,
it went from homophobic to a homoerotic in one and same sentence.
Does that involve donuts?
Might do, yes. I mean, you know, nice ring there for you.
Can we get on, please, Deb?
That's what he said.
Sorry, all emergency ventilators are to be kept closed. Harris is going to take charge, but he phones up Megan Jones at the Board of Headquarters.
Phones are up, big time.
And Dr. Victoria, meanwhile, Victoria is getting more and more frantic about, why is we always land up in trouble? And Jamie feels a bit dizzy. So I was a bit worried then, because Jamie said he felt dizzy and he'd been in on the phone. So I thought maybe he'd had a moment, but he doesn't seem to. He just says he feels a bit dizzy. But nothing else is made of it other than he has a bit of a rest. Victoria, meanwhile, is really upset. Then Robson is talking to Maggie Harris down at the beach, as we've said, and she's obviously giving him instructions, and then she goes off to the control rig, which we later find out is the nerve centre that the doctor thinks the monsters have.
Nerve of it.
And part four, episode four, the beginning.
Part four of episode four. God, was that later on?
Part four of episode four. Rig D, Rig A, and Rig C are not answering now. And
another question gone.
Harris is the only one who can authorise use of the helicopter. Van Lutchen's...
Buster just needs to announce that you've won.
Well, sometimes I, when he asks me to do a synopsis, I don't have much written down. Of the actual story.
I always have everything written down.
Okay. Meanwhile, Jamie's having a rest, but Victoria's fretting, and that's when my quote happened. They discuss the Daleks, the Cybermen, and the Yeti. She's not really met that much trouble, really, but she's obviously a delicate Victorian flower, so she's not...
Not as delicate as she used to be.
No, she isn't, to be honest, no. But, you know, she's just... It's almost like this episode, she backtracked to being delicate Victorian flower. It was the way she was always, you know, screaming conveniently, but just always sort of being upset about it and fed up about it all. Harris finds Robson on the beach, but Robson runs off, and then Harris ends up back at the base. But he
how did he get back in again? I mean, that's, he should have got in and out so quickly. It's like, yeah. How did he do it? You know, by the time he's run off, realise this guy's a sort of wobblehead. So, right, if he comes back, get a gun, pin against the wall, don't really go nowhere fast. And he just walks straight back in. It's like, what?
Well, this is it, because the reason they've taken over him, and then in a minute, because we're just getting to the point where Van Lutchen's goes down to the base of the impeller, despite the doctor saying don't do it, and then he ends up getting basically taken over. But you're just told that he's been taken over. You don't actually see him again. At all in the story, he just gets referred to as being yes, he's fine at the end, but you get told that he's been taken over and that the seaweed menace has taken over key strategic people in the building.
Yeah, actually, now you kind of made me think of something there, Debbie. Van Lutchens, he was in Doctor Who after this, and I've been trying to sort of remember who he was. I remember him being a slightly sort of untrustworthy character that didn't trust the Doctor, and I can't remember what he was in.
Would it not say on Wiki?
Yeah, what's the actor's name?
He's been in four stories, trying to figure out what they are.
Quicker, Kirby, quicker.
Her and the Hunter in Robin of Sherwood.
It's got nothing to do with Doctor Who.
He's in Blake 7.
Nothing to do with Doctor Who. Nothing to do with Doctor Who. Right, come on.
Looks like he was in Death to the Daleks. Unfortunately, the Wikipedia article doesn't have it all broken down.
He was Herne the Hunter? How cool. The original one. Brilliant.
It might have been the Death of the Daleks reference. Anyway, back on with the story.
Perkins and Megan Jones arrive from head office and think that it's
Mary's
just,
online.
Mary's online.
I don't care. Some people can't be bothered to turn up on time.
And then
you might have something different.
Right, what are we going to do to wind her up?
She was driving back from work.
Shh. What are we going to do to wind her up?
And the winner of the competition and Mary's question.
Hang on, with me, Bell.
There we go. I think that'll wind her up.
Shut up. Right, there's a bell. Okay, here we go. Where is she?
Shh.
Hang on. Contacts. What's her name again? Here we go.
Reese.
Right, hang on. Wait for it. It's ringing. Well done. And the next question goes to Mary.
I'm unprepared as always.
Okay. What was the name of the actor that played Robson?
His last name, I think, was Madden. Was that Vic Madden or something like that?
Adam,
she's
gonna get that. Well done, Mary.
Yeah, well done, Mary. We're not actually playing the quiz at the moment.
In fact, Mary, we are 5 minutes into episode one because Adam has just delayed us so much. He's unbelievable.
Oh, I see. Halfway through episode four, and I'm doing the review.
Yes, get on with it, Debbie. Oh, hang on! No, whoa! Right, and you can do your quote then. And Mary Lang.
I'm forever blowing.
It's definitely worth waiting for. Shut up, Gandhi. Shut up.
Actually, I'm
going to
step away from the microphone.
Hooray!
Stormy,
you're stepping away from the microphone.
I hate you.
Right, can we get on, Debbie? Oh, God. Yes?
John Avenieri, we were asking which... He played Van Luchens, or however you pronounce it. He was...
John Avenieri, isn't that Toby Haydock's favourite Doctor Who actor?
I don't know.
Oh, carry on.
John Avenieri. He was in Ambassadors of Death, Death of the Daleks, and Power of Kroll.
Well, there you go, then.
And he's also Toby Hiddleston's favorite actor.
Thank you, Mary.
That's two. I should play a joker.
Yeah, go on, Debbie, please.
Play my joker.
Okay, Van Luchens, meanwhile, is that they hear him screaming in the Impala house. And Jamie and the Doctor go down while Harris goes off to meet Megan.
Jamie and the Doctor go down? Hang on, what are we talking about now?
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. They go down into the impeller.
Oh, into the impeller.
Career. Okay. Yes, I'm going to use the word shaft, but I thought. Jamie doesn't like the way it feels. It got very difficult to hear them because obviously we've just seen pictures and occasional footage. So when they're covered in the face masks, you can't really hear them talking so well. But Jamie definitely
doesn't hear them anyway.
They basically end up in trouble down there. But Oak and Quill, Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill, are attending the lift and they are ignoring the emergency light, which is saying please send the lift back down. So the Doctor and Jamie end up climbing out. Meanwhile, Harris is trying to explain to Miss Jones that it's not just a tussle for power. He's really seen them. And meanwhile, Victoria has gone missing.
Yes. She's just trying to tear up a contract.
Megan Jones finally sends out the helicopters to have a look at the rigs, and they report foam and seaweed on A, C, and D rigs, and no sign of life, and the control rig. Harris wants to bomb the rigs, but Robson erupts into the room going, "You leave those rigs alone, they're mine, they're my rigs," you know, going nuts.
You are awful, but I like
Master.
That was a reference from Dick Emery.
Chief on the control rig tries to call him, but the seaweed gets him.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes?
Mistress, it would be the actress who played Megan Jones, Margaret John, came back in 2006 to Doctor Who as Granny Connolly in The Idiot's Lantern.
Well, there you go.
Oh, she was obviously missing her face.
Yeah, say she gets her face sucked off.
That's what she said.
Except whipped off the seaweed. All right. Victoria is passed out with some sex. Jamie goes to look for her, and for some reason she pretends. And I didn't quite understand the whole connotation of that bit, where she, you know, where she basically takes the mickey out of Jamie by being all weak. And she says she does admit to being passed out, but he's like, "Oh, you were fooling me," and she's like, "No, I just want some peace and quiet."
Yes.
And then they hear the heartbeat again, and the seaweed monster comes out to the clear part of the pipe, and the advance guard call it, and then. This really weird quote of the Doctor, "It's begun, the battle of the giants."
Yeah. Wasn't that the cliffhanging quote?
Part five, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
No, it sounds awful, but it's like, why, what are we talking about here? I know we're talking about mind over matter, but...
Did somebody get King Kong and Godzilla out, or what?
Yeah, just what's he referring to? Because it seemed like quite an ambiguous statement to end on the cliffhanger. Looking through the notes, they've decided that Nerve Center must be the control rig. The seaweed, as we said earlier, is only taking top people, and they refer to Van Lutyens again, even though he doesn't crop up again in the story. Whereabouts?
Very end. They ask about him.
You don't see him again.
You just get told. You get told that he's been taken over by the seaweed, and you get told at the end that he's fine.
Yeah, so he does crop up there, doesn't he?
No, he does crop up, but he doesn't physically appear again, so you don't know for certain.
Yes.
Lying on the floor melted.
Debbie?
Yeah.
Well, is he the one that they have in the medic bay there that's getting better?
No, that's Quill.
Okay.
That's Quill. He goes down to the impeller shaft and he gets taken away by the seaweed, and the Doctor and Jamie then go down because they've heard him screaming. But they work out pure oxygen is toxic to the weeds, and Oak and Quill vanish very quickly from behind the, you know, sort of hanging around in the background of the scenes to go and
yes,
the oxygen. And then Megan goes to almost quite a touching scene with Mr. Robson, because obviously they've got quite a past. And it was quite a nice scene between them, and Robson's trying to reach through the hypnosis that the seaweed's done on him, and sort of trying to reach through, "Help me, Megan, help me," you know. And
well, when she calls him John, there, she's talking as a personal friend.
So,
you know, they've got a very close connection. You don't know how close that is, but you're right. She's someone that they have a lot of mutual respect, and she really wants to help him. But you know, at the end of it, she said, "No, that's what Robson, you've got to break through this." So I think it's very good the way she said, "No, step out of the personal friendship. I am now in command. I'm the man who, I'm the woman who made you. Now get off your backside and get it sorted."
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
So what scene, I'll tell you what scene I found quite touching was the scene, the last scene where between Victoria and Jamie, when she sort of more or less decided she's going.
No, I'm not tired.
You can see Jamie really doesn't want her to go.
Yeah, you can hear the larks and the nightingales, in the background as well. And it's sort of really nice, quiet scene between them, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of unspoken from Jamie, definitely. Yeah. And it's like, we're not there yet.
Try to fuck her out of it.
We're not there yet, though. Yeah, right, there's no oxygen reserves left. And Robson receives instructions through the vent that he's got to go out and get the, I've written down here, uses seaweeded left hand on his inept guard, is what I've written. Because there's a guy stood there minding his own business by the door, and he gets easily grappled.
Did this remind people of the Ark in Space with the seaweed hands? And the fact that she's in the Arctic space and the guy had the space hand cut his balls out.
Yes.
And
yes.
It must be that really reminded me.
And like the seaweed sticking out of his collar too, you know, just.
Yes.
Kind of, it's like coming, it's coming.
You haven't spotted that? Like, what?
That's what she said.
Indeed, yes. But it was like, I mean, come on, hang on. This guy's got, you know, his arm's gone to pieces and you haven't spotted that, you know. Yeah, sorry. You're wearing a red shirt, aren't you?
Yeah, he was in a red shirt. That
oh,
one.
God, there was. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Jamie and Victoria chase after Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill. And Quill grapples with Jamie while Mr. Oak escapes. And that's when Victoria, after Jamie thinks his punch has dealt Quill a blow, but it's Victoria's scream. And that's when the doctor starts going, hmm, I think Victoria's screaming. And meanwhile, we've worked that out since episode one.
Yeah.
But Perkins is immediately suspicious of the doctor being one step ahead. But rather than spending episode after episode being suspicious of the doctor this time, they've just been trusting him pretty much all the way this time after Victoria breaks them out and everything. The pipeline gives way, all the seaweed and the foam comes out, and there's quite a few dramatic moments of lots and lots of bath foam everywhere and people frozen in terror and being dragged away.
I'm guessing, well, sorry to interrupt, but we actually had some live sequences here. Some of it looked like it was real clips, but some of it looked like it's probably footage filmed, I think, off screen of what was being
filmed. Yeah, it was backstage footage, yeah.
It's backstage footage.
Yeah.
But actually, it did work. It helped to keep the story going rather than just use a still.
Mm. No, exactly. Meanwhile, Victoria has wandered off again. But it turns out she's been taken by Robson, and all the doors out to from one, which the doctor manages to
find.
And they go to Victoria, and then ensues a rather brilliant beginning to the helicopter scene, because they go to chase after Robson, and Victoria, the doctor, and Jamie are piloted over to the control rig. And Harris gives the doctor 1 hour before he'll evacuate the compound. And basically, during all the time, the foam is creeping throughout the whole compound. So you get that every now and then back to them. But the doctor and Jamie climb down to basically bask in the foam for a while. And they get down to the hatch and down into the lion's den, or what they've got to keep concentrating on is not keeping their heads out of its mouth more than anything, is what the doctor said. I did like that bit, because it's like, into the lion's den, doctor. It's like, no, we're already in the lion's den.
Yes, we need to keep your head out of the mouth.
You can hear Victoria going, doctor, Jamie.
We can ask Fraser lots of questions about this next week, you know.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Oh, well, Debbie, you must remember to do this, because I'll forget.
What?
Hello? To ask these questions that Kobe refers to.
No, there's loads to ask him, especially as it's concurrent with what we're doing at the moment. I think it's wonderful.
And when, of course,
if he manages to be able to get him in to the podcast, like he messed up last year.
Well, I got him onto the podcast because he phoned me.
That's true. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I participate in that interview.
That's interesting to see if he actually remembers being on the show.
I met Bester McCoy the other week. He remembered you guys.
No, he remembered you, Debbie. He made your.
Oh,
he remembered your guffaw.
Many years ago, and the convention was doing AB. I was wearing a Birmingham shirt. We had to chat about football for half an hour.
You're not going to do that. You are not going to do that.
wear a football shirt.
No. Just have football, because we won't have long with him.
We only have an hour next week, so.
Yeah. Only an hour? Yay!
No, we might have 2 hours. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
just stub my toe.
Meanwhile,
do I have band of making kickball? Okay, fine. I won't mention it.
Get on with it.
Robson is basking as well in the foam of a foam-filled room. Very foamy, I've written. Come in.
Well, we have two hours.
We've
oh, make your mind up.
You. And basically, they want the Doctor to help the new Masters, because to help with the conquest of the human planet. Meanwhile, Victoria starts screaming after Jamie releases her, and Robson backs into the foam. They must have had a hell of a good time after filming these. Mm. Foam party.
You're my beat,
Debbie? No,
I haven't.
No,
I beat the foam party.
One of those.
Yeah, I think.
Yes, my husband worked in Ibiza, yes. The helicopter pilot won't come near the control rig by the looks of it, which gives the doctor a good excuse to try flying Robson's one. And I've written too much silliness in the doctor flying badly loop-de-loops, etc. And I like the way he says, oh, didn't know helicopters could do loop-de-loops.
That was one of my alternate quotes.
Yeah.
And my other quote was the helicopter pilot when he radios and instructions going, right pedal, and the doctor goes, oh, right pedal.
That's where you have the stills. They're sitting there, the doctor to the left, they're certainly the doctor to the right. So like they all swap seats, don't they?
Yes,
yes, you mentioned this.
Well, obviously, that's about an hour and a half ago now. So I can remember the Daleks, isn't it? In the van, where they drive through the tunnel.
Yes.
I have this terrible feeling of deja vu.
Mm. I think you mentioned it when we weren't recording, wasn't it?
Quite possibly. Have we finished the story yet? Because we are starting...
We're nearly there.
Yeah, another half hour.
I'm worried about how to land it. Basically, we've got about 10 minutes until Harris will evacuate. Megan wants Perkins to get onto the defence minister and put a full red alert out, also to send as many tanks of oxygen as they can. Meanwhile, they find out Mr. Quill's almost completely recovered, and the doctor suddenly realises it's noise, the sound vibrations, and Victoria's pattern of sound in her screen particularly, which means when other people are screaming at it, it doesn't work.
He makes comments at times about how, you know, like he didn't think Jamie actually punched the guy out, but he suspected something else was afoot.
they realise that the doctor wants half an hour to get it all sorted, to get the noise down into the pipeline. So they record Victoria screaming. She says she can't, but then she sees the weeds coming out of the impeller room and suddenly is screaming the place down, which is terrific. And... then they get given, some of them get given handheld speakers, which is brilliant. And then two monsters come through, but Jamie thought there was only one of them. So that was an odd off-the-cuff sort of thing. Two monsters thought there was only one, but nothing was sort of said about it afterwards. The monsters are driven back by the scream, and Megan thanks the doctor, and a thank you is more than sufficient to the doctor. And then suddenly Maggie and Robson are there, all well, calling in from the control rig. Everyone's fine. Van Lutyens is well too. We're all here. We're all good, darling. How are you? You know. And suddenly they're at a dinner party. It's taken less than 5 minutes to defeat the menace that's been going through almost 5.5 episodes.
What's got me was watching that. He's hanging on me. Yeah, everything's okay on the rig. No, come on. There's got to be a backup here. They're going to... No, actually, no, it wasn't. There's no sort of suspicious thing.
As Kirby said, five episodes
really tense, and suddenly it's like, oh, we've run out of time, run out of money, oh, it's finished yet, everyone's okay.
Everybody have a dinner party and we'll say
exactly,
goodbye.
This whole thing just seems to be, bang, it stopped.
It did. I actually made a note of how far in to the dinner party we were in the episode. And it was 17 minutes into the last episode we got the dinner party. Mm. And it was about 11 minutes into the episode that we got the beginning of the defeating the monsters. So it was short. I was quite cross because I thought that it deserved a lot more attention. Mm. Defeating it.
Well, my God, everyone shut up.
Shut up, because we're all thinking.
Oh.
I'm contemplating losing the quiz.
Shut up, Kirby. Mary's going to say something.
Sorry, Mary.
Oh, no, I felt during the little loop-de-loop stuff with the doctor in the helicopter that we were just marking time here.
It did feel like, didn't it?
I love the way it was simply just turning the camera around to the loop-de-loop.
Meanwhile, my handwriting changes because I saved the last 5 minutes for this morning. So I was obviously.
We don't know how they showed it on screen.
No, they showed the way we watched it. It was basically like the camera had just been turned around, or the picture, or the camera, or, you know, never mind, carry on.
No, I'm not talking about the stills. I'm talking about the time it took for them to do all that helicopter stuff.
Yeah, because they had to pay for the helicopter, so they had to get their work out of it.
Mm. Yeah, well, they also had to make the episode a certain amount of time long. So a long dinner party and a long period of helicopter spins.
Mm. I like the way at the end of this one, when they're happy bantering, Harris's house. After Robinson's left, the doctor asks Mrs. Harris if Victoria can stay. There's no, she's not talked to Mrs. Harris beforehand to say, can I stay? I'd like to. You know, like's happened in the past, you know, someone's allowed to stay. He actually asks someone to look after her.
Which I, they've built a relationship, you know, so that it's like, oh yeah, this is great.
And then Mrs. Harris obviously is like, as long as she needs to. And but Jamie is distraught. And he wants to, I just wrote down, Jamie talks to Victoria as the nightingale sing, because I just thought it was so sweet. And quite a sad moment, because she'd made her mind up, like, episode two. She wasn't going to carry on. She'd had enough. But Jamie couldn't care less where they end up after they leave, and Victoria and the Harrises wave them off on the beach. But Robson, meanwhile, is back to normal and is being quite rude to his crew as usual, but they all seem to be taking it in their stride this time.
You know who were, you know, the controller, the bloke who he lets go for a sleep?
Yeah.
When I see him, and I see the pictures of Ian Kirk, it does not remind me of Ian Kirk, that bloke. And I know also he's been in other episodes of Doctor Who. Beg your pardon, Andy?
That's a blimey, that's what I said. He's like, yeah.
You think do you agree with me then?
I do indeed, yes, he does. Like he does.
I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah.
No, you're right. You look at Ian, and he does, doesn't he?
Meanwhile, Jamie couldn't care less where they're going, and the doctor points out to Jamie, I cared for her too, you know, Jamie, but he the way he already speaks in the past tense is quite...
It's like the doctor is so useful. He's just so used now to saying goodbye to companions.
Yeah, but
they walk around going, I mean, how do you cope with someone who lives eternally? And people like Victoria, he's got
the... Well, it's like what Tennant's doctor says in the one where Sarah Jane comes back. You know, it's like he says in that one, everybody, I keep going, and nobody else does.
But they're all epiphanal, and that's it. You know, someone who lives for thousands of years, how do you cope with someone whose lifespan is, a few decades, and that's it? You know you're going to lose them. How do you cope with that?
Yeah.
Well, ask me in the 12th Doctor series. How did she cope?
That's true, yeah.
But isn't there one in the 4th Doctor where there's something similar? Where he says, I have to keep going. I'm sure it's happened before. Where the Doctor says, I have to keep going. I will live for thousands of years. You people, you're there. You're not ephemeral, but you're there for a few brief moments, and that's it. I have to keep going.
Yes, by the way, Alan T. Butcher's made a very good point. Jamie had no idea of the treat in store for him in the next story.
Oh, ding dong.
The big treat,
yeah. It wasn't quite the Zoe Butt thing. It was just Zoe, I think.
Yes, we all know what he's referring to, hanging off the console.
Yeah, but that wasn't the next story. That was probably...
You haven't even seen that one yet.
New.
No, but I've seen that clip God knows how many times. Okay. That crops up quite regularly.
Well, that's one of my favourite stories.
I'd love to meet Wendy Papery and sort of discuss with her butt.
Adam, I think you might get your face slapped first.
No, I'm sure loads of people have discussed
it. I'm sure she's probably used to it because it is quite an iconic moment.
And an iconic butt. Anyway, are we still going with this story?
No, actually, we've done.
Hooray! Right, now I'm going to say what I think about it.
Here's my notes, by the way.
Very, very well done, Debbie. Right, you're hired. Yes.
So hopefully you've got some questions that were not covered.
Shut up. Anyway, yes, I must say this story was really, really good. Like Debbie said, it had a certain amount of jeopardy, I suppose you'd call it. And menace. Jeopardy and menace. It probably was dragged out a little bit, but I think that dragging out sort of geared up the suspense of how they were going to get out of it, because when I'd forgotten, I'd only sort of listened to this once, I'd forgotten that it was the Victoria scream that actually saved the day. And I noticed also when that came together, it reminded me of the film Mars Attacks, when wasn't there a certain song?
Oh, yes.
Was it just every music or just a certain piece of music?
It was a certain singer, wasn't it? Yodeler.
Yeah. Which sort of killed all the...
Explode their heads. Yeah.
So that reminded me a little bit of that. But on the whole, it was a really good story. The effectiveness of those two characters with their mouths open, how scary that was. It's a shame that I suspect it was the Australians, wasn't it, that cut those bits out. That's what yes. Some glad they did because you get to see them, but I think it would have destroyed the.
Even as an adult, that was scary.
Yeah, it would have destroyed the fun of the story a little bit. Yes, there was a lot of foam in it. But when you think what the foam, you know, was supposed to do, you are quite scared of things. I don't want to get touched by this foam, you know.
I've been bubble bath for a while.
The acting all round was fantastic, like you say, especially from Deborah Watling. And I think, as we normally say with these stories, it could have probably been a four-parter. But I still enjoyed it as a six-parter. I wasn't bored by it. It was more difficult in, how busy I am with work in total, that I was thinking about cancelling doing this episode because I was so tight on time, but I did manage to cram just about all the episodes in, despite being excruciatingly tired, and the reason I was able to do that because the story is quite compelling and sort of
exactly,
enabled yeah. me to stay awake. So on the whole, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm intrigued to hear what Mary thinks of it, but we'll save the best till last. But I'm going to ask Andy, because Debbie's voice deserves a bit of a rest. Andy, what did you think?
Okay, well, I do actually feel, in a way, I'm repeating myself. This was a good four-part story trying to come out. Having said that, the first four episodes were they dragged. The last two episodes, though, went really well. And I think it's they packed so much in the last two, because it really did spark into life from four onwards. So I certainly enjoyed it. I watched it in three blocks. I watched two, one to two, three to four. 5 and 6, I watched Wednesday Operation. And I think that was when I was only, I'm looking for dudes, waiting, I was able to focus on it more. And that was the most interesting thing, because that's when everything happened. And everything came together. You can see what the doctor's trying to do. Robson's an interesting character, because he'd been taken over, he's trying to resist it. And then you can see him playing almost two parts there. Sorry, my
phone
dropped.
Toby,
is that okay? Can you hear me okay, folks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I heard Toby's muttering.
Phone's
ringing.
Stop now.
Not mine.
Right, okay. So, the way it happened was then, the last episode, I think something happened and sparking in, because you've got Megan Jones in, who made things happen. Harris started, I'm going to make a decision. The last 10 minutes, though, was like, it's like, what the hell's happened there? Because it's like, oh, yeah, it's all over, you're all having friends. Sorry, it didn't work for me. So I think, yet again, I've said it so many times, this is a good four-part story trying to come out. The first four episodes really chopped into two very easily. The last two should have been expanded, actually. But, yeah, enjoyed it. If it comes back, if we find it again... I do think it will not be the classic that people think it will be.
Disagree. I think it will be great.
Disagree.
Right, okay. Tell you what, folks, in 5 years' time, we'll sit down with a beer, we'll argue about it.
No, we won't, because they probably won't find it.
I'm hoping we will. I honestly think this will be one of those stories that will people realise it ain't quite as good. The last episodes, though, are brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Got some messages from Alan T. Butcher, who says... Goodbye, Victoria. Hello, Zoe. And then better than discussing Adam's butt. And then Jeopardy and Menace, Adam's butt again. Debbie, what did you think? Not of my butt. Not my butt. of the story.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I've been a bit poorly this week with the Crimson Aura. But I thought it was really good. I was a bit worried that it was going to be a little bit of another one of those, so much foam. Yeah. What's going on, you know. But the acting was brilliant, and it was frightening. It was one of the first time in a while that a Doctor Who's made me go, oh, creepy, with Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill, which absolutely fizzed all my delight buttons. So I really, really enjoyed it. As soon as those two turned up, I was like, yes, oh, great, it's creepy, it's a menace. I don't care how silly the monsters are when they're flailing around in the foam, because that kind of hides a lot of... not of the problems with the monsters, but that's the whole idea of Doctor Who. I've obviously read through my notes, and I was just writing and watching and laughing and being scared and just really buying into the whole thing. And obviously it was setting up for Victoria to leave, but I, as I said, I was quite cross with how quickly they dealt with the menace, having having, you know, it being around the whole of the five episodes before. And I thought maybe they'd do part of the problem solving episode five, not just reserve it for 5 minutes in episode six.
But, I don't know. I must admit,
it seems to be the way that it's been written.
I think that episode six was more about Victoria's departure than anything else, and it was a bit of a homage to her. Though the fact that it was her scream that saves the day.
It kind of, she was leaving, but it did overshadow the fact that they've just saved everybody and saved all the people on the rigs, and they just sort of very quickly went, yeah, we're all great. Okay, now let's get on with what we're really trying to achieve.
It reminded me of Dr. Dancer's Empty Child, when obviously at the end they said, oh, everybody lives. That is probably the only other story in Doctor Who when everybody lived.
But no, other than that, I really enjoyed it, and yeah, it was great fun and nice and creepy.
Yes, indeedy. Kirby, what did you think?
Oh, I came into this one not really knowing what to expect. I'd heard that it was a seaweed and foam monster. I'm going, what? What do you mean? And, of course, we've all seen the footage of Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill. And I can recall, it's like a year or two ago, I mentioned them and I thought they were in a different story. And everyone's jumping on me, correcting me. No, it's Fury from the Deep. And, but anyway... this is one I would love to see a recovered story from. I mean, this was really interesting and it was good. It was very good. I do think that it was too long, but only maybe one episode too long. It would have been good as a five part.
Maybe so.
So this was good. I'm looking forward to the next one, which because of my my vacation, I probably won't be talking to you guys about.
So does that mean we're going to get through the episode a bit quicker than normal then?
That's mean.
Okay, we know what's coming up, everyone.
Mary!
Here comes Mary.
The one word I would put on this is dull. It is so dull.
Oh, no!
Oh, well, at least I can deduct her 2 points that she won just earlier on.
Well, the whole idea is that everybody has their own opinion. There you go.
And I have the plus and minus button. Carry on, Mary.
This one, I was always watching the time. Like, is it yet? Is it almost over yet? You know, each episode. And I did just watch it one episode at a time, because that's what I'm trying to do. I just felt like so many things were dragged out. And I don't hate these six-part episodes when there is good character development going on, which I felt happened in the previous six-parters. I enjoyed them, even though the story wasn't moving snappily along, which what we're used to now, because we got to delve into the characters and the stories. I don't feel like we delved into anybody. Everybody was very cardboard. Presented very two-dimensional. We didn't get into any background, any development. So I just got really bored with the ongoing denial. It's like, shut up, open your eyes.
River in Egypt.
What?
No, he's being funny about the Nile.
No,
he's not being funny about the Nile. He's just being Kirby. By the way, Mary, Alan T. Butcher says dull, Fury, no.
Sorry, Alan. One character that I have to give kind of a shout out to is this Megan Jones, because she was written very well. She was not, wimpy, screaming lady like we're seeing a lot of in the early stories, which is part of the era, I know. But she is kind of a refreshing character in that she was never like butchy bitchy, which is the other way. They're the evil demon women, or they're the Victorias. She was, I think, very well written, and it's hard for me to judge the acting, because all we really have is their voices and some still pictures. I would like to see them in action to see if in truth there really is good acting. I mean, I make the assumption there is, but I don't know, so I can't say anything about that. And for one, I am glad to see Victoria go, because she characterizes that very character that I just am not crazy about. The women being all limp and sweet and screaming a lot, and it was a struggle getting through this one.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. You're wrong, but thank you. Right. Right. I think we better move on to a bit of feedback. What do you reckon? I want to say a bit. I mean that literally.
Hello, 20 Wing Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Yay!
Fury from the Deep by Victor Pendleton. Everything is under control. Everything is under control. The phrase, I'll explain later, is used.
Yes.
For the first time.
Possibly, yeah.
By the doctor.
All the episodes in this story have been lost. The TARDIS makes a rare sea landing and takeoff. People are in danger from weed and deadly bubble wrath. 3 years before this was broadcast, natural gas was discovered in the North Sea, and it was going to be an important source of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria says a few times that she is no longer happy having adventures. At the end, she stays behind. It was mentioned at the beginning that the boss, Robson, never calls anyone by their name. By the end, his personality has changed. Weed can do that to a person.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Ian. Well done. Auntie Butcher says, I assume Mike feedback went through. Outlook was being a bit odd. And then he says, my feedback, that is. No, Alan, I haven't got any feedback from your good self. So if you have it still in text form, just Facebook it to me and then I'll bounce it over to Mrs. Melrose. She has been looking forward to the opportunity of reading out your particular.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Completely.
But in the meantime, oh, it has arrived.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go then. Let's bounce that over to the official reader of Aaron T. Butcher. What's the name again? Deborah Melrose, isn't it? D-E-B. Debbie, there she is, Debbie Melrose. Are you ready, Debbie?
Stick it around the corner.
No, it won't be quicker, because I'm just going to press Control V. Actually, it's not Control, it's Option V. It says a Macintosh. Here we go. Go on, Debbie. You have it now. I can sit back and enjoy.
That's what she said.
Furry from the underground gives way to Fury from the deep. Dear 20 Megabyters, you think, of course, that Fury from the Deep be closely studied contemplation of the leave or remain dilemma exhibited by companion Victoria, the shape of which narrative is topologically mapped onto... Oh, my God. onto the contemporaneous European question, but it isn't.
Wow, well done.
Fury from the Deep... is in fact a closely studied examination of the pharmaceutical conflagration, that is the war on drugs. Under siege from weed, our protagonists chilly shally around, and some of them indulge in strangely psychedelic facial ornamentation. The rest of the comparisons are, of course, too obvious to require enumeration. We also learn that away from Sir James's benign influence, Victor Madden developed a weed problem, seaweed. Also, Victoria is not just a screamer, but mainly she is just a screamer. And finally, we discover that the second Doctor's sonic screwdriver is a screwdriver. Great story, though they missed out on a return trip to the beach at Littlehampton, and it constitutes a sad... Oh, my God. ...corroboration of the Victorian era, not to be resumed until the talents of Ben Chung. We can look forward to a lively mind arriving next time. And those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Watch that
Debbie,
one up.
Debbie, no. If I'm going to pick up you, Alan T. Butcher, your next bit of feedback has got to be totally monitor valid.
No,
it's what?
No. I actually challenge Alan.
Challenge Alan, that's
an...
The new feature on the 20 megabyte podcast. It's challenge, Alan.
Challenge, Alan. 1 syllable per word. Your next feedback. I challenge you, sir. And if you don't, you can buy me a pint back.
There's always got to be something that results in you getting some alcohol somewhere along the line, isn't it, Alan?
Hey, Adam, you've met me in a lovely dawn, haven't you? Do we like drink?
Yes. Anyway.
Again, maybe a couple of years' time.
Okay, and it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Sorry, I'm just writing the names down. I'm very organised.
Fred, P, Steve, Simon.
No. Actually, did anybody see Ben Shoveler's daughter has left school and he published a photograph of her? Blimey, she's suddenly grown up, isn't she? Good Lord. Pardon?
How old is it?
Oh, God, he's gone all Cher now. Deb's quite pleased you've gone Cher, which is quite amusing in itself. Okay, right, I'm just going to... Okay.
How old is Isabella?
She's 10.
She's dinky.
So in about 5 years' time, that's it, you know, she'll be getting there as well. So,
getting where?
Well, she wants A-levels.
She'll be doing them in 5 years' time. She'll be finished them in 6 years' time. Anyway, right.
She's still giving Vina a hug every time we go to school. It's brilliant.
Oh, good.
We'll make the most of it. She'll be giving her a punch soon.
It's nice that the podcast family is extended, if you see what I mean. I like that.
Storm again is very good at punching. He actually ripped Dawn's necklace off today.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I did that with mine.
Yeah, he also had her earring off. He smacked me on the nose today. He's getting quite violent to Storm.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Alan T. Butcher said, challenge may be accepted, but may not include any punctuation at all.
Alan, sorry, no way. Me and you, good mate. Sorry, it doesn't work.
Moving on, right. And Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question asking part of this particular feature?
Kirby,
who do you think is going to be ahead at the question asking part of this feature?
Debbie.
There's a pattern developing here. Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead at this part?
I actually think Debbie will be, but if I say Debbie, I will get stuffed, so therefore it's going to be you, Adam.
Debbie.
I actually think it's going to be you, because I think even if you're tired, you're getting quite wily with the questions.
There's a certain amount of suicide going on here, and yeah, I think it's going to be...
Ever nominates me, ever.
It's going to be Debbie. Right, my vote is for Debbie. Too late, you've chosen Debbie. First question, I've just got to pause this over the right icon. First question goes to Mary.
Okay. She's already got 2 points.
Which character... Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Two points. Yeah. I was only joking when I said I was going to delete. Right, Mary. Which character was the first to speak in the story?
First
character to speak.
Jamie. Go then. I'll be Victoria.
And another one for me. Excellent, well done. No, the answer was the Doctor, funny enough, as you there was only 3 to choose from, and you couldn't get either of them right. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What does the sonic screwdriver never do?
Fail. It never fails.
Oh, that wobbles.
Oh my goodness, I actually get... Oh, darn!
What, did you not play your Joker?
Actually, Adam, you never mentioned Joker.
Well, I shouldn't have to. Oh, I forgot to mention something, though. There are extra points available for extremely funny and comedic answers that aren't necessarily, you know. Oh, we've got 5 minutes to the end of the live video. Shut up. We've got 5 minutes to the end of the live video.
Can I hit my Joker on that last one?
No. Andy.
Yep.
Oh, all right. What did the doctor hear through his stethoscope? It's the sort of answer you'd like, this one. Is
something alive.
I said I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Debbie said first.
Sounds like a heartbeat.
Oh, dear. Oh. No, this is this is why I said there's a sort of answer that Andy would like. It was.
And that Kirby probably got as well.
Go on, Kirby. What was it? Not going to get anything for it.
Throbbing from a pump.
Correct, Kirby. No points.
Given what looked like down south, I ate probably no more for quite a while.
Yeah. Right, Debbie.
Debbie. Debbie.
Yes.
Right. What did Harris suggest they give to the doctor, Jamie, and Victoria? Big pardon?
Gas.
Say it, I can't hear you.
U4 and gas.
You are right. No jokers played there. She obviously knew it. She could have played a joker, but decided not to.
She forgot too. I'm not the only one.
I've got a really itchy nose right here. Why it's so itchy. Right, Mary.
Yeah.
Which character did Harris say was under considerable pressure?
Guessing Rosie.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
Whose husband was second in charge to Ros Robson?
That's so obvious.
I know. Hooray, yeah.
Maggie's husband.
Jeez. Andy.
Yeah.
What rig was Carney on?
Rig B.
Pardon?
B.
No,
B.
I know.
Go on in, Debbie.
Rig D.
Right.
God.
Debbie.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. What drawer did Harris tell his wife to look?
Middle drawer of his desk.
Again, Joker's been missed out big time here. The current scores are in last place with no points.
Yeah!
That's Andy.
Thank you.
In fourth place with 4 points, it's Mary.
Yay!
In second place, joint second place, is me and Debbie with 5 points. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby. Really, Gino, it's irritating me. Right. Next one is for Mary.
Yes.
What pumps gas out to the sea?
What?
What?
Does the actual pumping?
Yeah, what does the pump? Another missed opportunity there.
Yes,
Kirby.
Yes.
Kirby.
Oh, master.
What drink did Harris offer his wife when she lay down?
Oh, yeah, we know. I know this.
Milk.
Yes.
Right. Andy.
All right.
What might the sound of a pin dropping sound like inside the gasometer, according to Robson?
A heartbeat.
No, I know.
I never can get in fast enough.
Go on in, Debbie.
That's what she said.
Like a thunderclap.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
How long did Robson give Harris and the doctor to see Maggie?
That was one month. Joker, 1 hour.
Oh, he's playing a joker.
Oh,
yay.
That was one of the points when Kirby went, oh, that's another question.
And we got another 55 seconds left before the live feed ends. Oh, my mother's just joined. And Noel Gallagher standing behind Adam performing to Glastonbury. What's he all about?
Why don't you stop this feed and start another one?
Oh, apparently Kirby says I've got to stop this feed and start another one. So we're stopping the feed and starting another one, according to Kirby. So, bye-bye. Rejoin the... Shut up. Rejoin the... Be quiet. What did you say?
Stop farting.
I'm not farting. It's my chair.
Yes. That's what you always say.
Join the other feed. No viewers. I forgot. Who had the last question? I've lost where I was now.
I was winning.
No, you weren't. Right, let's see what the last question was. Last question was about the how long did Robson give?
That was me. Yeah.
That was you. Is it okay?
Yeah,
so the next question then goes to Mary.
Yes.
Who visited Maggie?
I know.
Of
course I know. I don't know.
You don't know.
Think about it. kind
think
of.
About yeah, it. Don't be snobby. Yeah, Debbie, go for it.
The doctor?
No.
Go on in, Debbie.
No.
Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill.
Yeah, Mr. Oak, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
I lost where it was. Oh, no, no, no. Maybe
I'm sitting at home.
Shut up. Where did Harris plan to have Maggie taken to, according to the script?
The health clinic.
Nope. Anybody?
I've got it written down, block 420.
That was their marriage quarters.
Nope. The answer was Medicare Center. Right.
Okay, is that a health clinic?
No, I said according to the script.
Difference.
I said according to the script.
Said according to the script. I knew it was like, whatever. This is how
we're getting around. Right, Andy.
That's me, yep.
How long did Rodson give the engineers to fix the pump?
No, not long enough. Right, okay, 15 minutes.
Anybody?
Debbie knows.
Probably.
No.
Limit that. The answer was half an hour. Right, so next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
What did Jamie see in the seaweed, according to the script?
Jamie seeing seaweed.
Hmm.
Oh, little wriggly things.
Because Jeff writes out the whole script.
Yeah, right, I'll have a score update. In last place with no points, Sandy.
Yes, Kelly.
In fourth place with 6 points, it's Mary. In third place with 8 points, it's Kirby.
That's where it should be.
In second place with 11 points, it's me. And in the lead with 13 points, it's Debbie. Right, next question goes to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Shh, I can hear voices. Oh, they're outside. Right, Mary. oh, yeah. What century was the drawings of the monster drawn?
Oh, I do know that one.
I know.
And I'll do a joker on the 18th century.
Well, say that again, sorry.
18th century. And I did the joker.
I heard the joke a bit.
Well, right,
Mary. Kirby.
Master.
Who did Harris want to speak to at board headquarters?
Probably Megan Jones.
Yeah.
Correct. Mandy.
Randy? Who's Randy?
You. Matt of innuendo comes out of it.
I'm not Randy.
You can be recently.
Yeah, give a week maybe, but not now.
Right then, Randy. What was the question? Oh, I've lost it. What's your name? Right. Who did Harris? I've done that one. What were Megan's last? Be quiet. What were Megan's last instructions to Robson on the beach?
You mean Maggie?
That's what I said. What did I say? What were Maggie's last instructions?
I know.
What were Maggie's?
I've not been even down. So Kirby, over
to
you, mate.
Go on in, Kirby.
Oh, sorry, Mary. Mary.
Hang on, whoa. Who said I know first?
Mary.
Mary.
All right, now, I played this over several times, yes. And I still could not get her first word.
Go on.
It was very scratchy, so all I have is blank of the time. You know what to do. You will obey.
I was looking for the you will obey bit.
Yeah, there
you will obey.
Time, you know what you must do. You will obey.
Yes. I'm going to give you an extra point for that.
There is little time. You know what you must do. You will obey. Loose Cannon had had subtitles up.
Yeah, I will give you an extra point for that because you gave me more than I asked for quite a lot of amount. I only wanted you will obey.
I give you more than you ask for often.
Do you? Yeah, but that's overkill. That's overkill, Kirby.
Is Kirby and Kevin Starr show?
Kirby. Stop. Debbie, stop breathing on your microphone. Kirby,
Master.
Who was technical advisor?
In the show or
no, in the story. In the
in
show.
The story. I don't know.
Whee! Who knows?
I think I might.
Go on then.
Was it Van Lutchens? He gets described as a couple of things, but he does say that.
He does indeed. That's why I put it as a question. Right, Andy.
Yeah,
okay. What did Victoria say would be the only thing that would wake Jamie?
Her I know.
I passed my notes. Waiting for operation.
You did talk about it in last.
Shush, Debbie.
Sorry. I know.
Think Mary knows.
We all know except for him.
First person ever to get 0 points. Has somebody taken off his sleeve?
Go on in, Mary.
I've lost it.
Because we all know except you.
Mary.
Go on.
A bomb dropping.
How does she know?
How does she know that one? Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the Doctor and Jamie find down the shaft?
Foam and seaweed monster. Oh, the torch.
Foam and seaweed monster. Oh, the torch. The torch would have been quite sufficient.
And the bugger as well.
Yeah. Oh, magic wants to come in. I know.
The torch.
Come on then, you donut dog. Right, listeners, the viewers, how many have we got? Three. We'll actually get the benefit of getting to see magic if I can get him over. Come on, matey. Come on.
Is he gonna
he's coming over for a cuddle.
No, stop
resisting. He's resisting cuddles. Come here.
Magic, my mate. I haven't seen my mate magic.
You dog. Don't scratch him. Oh, he smells.
You did.
It's funny watching you struggle to pick him up. Oh, there he is.
He's done one of his...
Oh, no. He dropped
it. No, he hasn't. His scent glands oozed something revoltingly smelly out of it.
Oh,
means I've got to wipe his ass at some point. But he's still lovely,
though. He's gone by the next door. He's been round. And she's shaking nappy, fed him, and it was a spectacular
nappy. You stink.
Magic.
You stink. Oh, dear. I think his ears have gone back, so he knows he's in... He's got to experience a bit of cleaning. He doesn't like being cleaned.
Wet wipe, any day.
Yeah, it's basically what he's going to have on his backside. Off he goes.
Have you got farting out?
Alan T. Butcher said it's gone. Anyway, who had the last question? I've lost the plot now.
Debbie.
Was it Debbie? Therefore, let's have a score update, shall we?
No.
In last place with no points is Andy. In fourth place with 10 points, it's Kirby. In third place, or joint second place indeed, with... Will you stop padding? Magic's going to hide. He's gone to hide in the corner. With 14 points each, it's Mary and me. And in the lead with 16 points.
Really? I'm up that far. Wow.
Debbie. That's what she said. Next question goes to Mary. Mary's back on the show. Yes, Andy did try to keep up with you, but it's never going to happen. They're not up to that standard. Right then, Mary. Right. What region was working on emergency supplies? I might be getting some points here.
Central region?
Go on in, Kirby.
Southern region. Thank you.
Kirby.
I'm here every week.
Kirby. What mode of transport did Megan Jones recommend Harris use?
Who's that for?
You.
I can find
one. I don't know.
Well, I was expecting you to know that one. Go on in, Debbie.
Is it the company helicopter?
I should have known that one.
Yes, you should have done. Andy.
Yeah, whatever.
Right. What letters were on the logo?
That's a good question. I don't know what.
I could try if he doesn't know.
I'm going to bet him, mate. I've had enough.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Right then. Mary said she's going to have a go. Mary.
Is it ESGO?
Yay, so well
done, Mary. Thank you, mate.
That was like way back at the beginning.
Debbie.
Yes,
it was all the way through the story, actually, all the way through. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor say had begun at the end of episode 4?
It's begun the battle of the giants. Did I still can't work out what that was
All right, Mary.
Yeah.
Who were the first to be controlled by the weed?
Oak and Quill.
I think that's got what I've got written there.
Engineers at the source.
Yeah, sorry, I pressed the wrong button because the next. Yeah, don't worry. That's wrong. Sorry, Mary.
It wasn't
them. It wasn't them, no. But it was essentially. Oh, yeah, I'll give you the points, yeah, because it was essentially them.
Yeah.
But Debbie, I'll give you some points as well because you said engineers at the source, because that's what was, I was written down. But the engineers at the source.
They were the engineers at the source.
But yes, were Oak and Quill. Yes. Yes. All right, Kirby. Right. Kirby.
Master.
Who attacked Jamie?
Oh, no.
Quill.
Andy.
Dead ding there.
Yeah, that was a bit of a dead ding, wasn't it? I moved. Let's see if this sounds any better. That's better. Right. Andy.
Yeah.
This could be the moment. Where did the doctor think Robson was going to lead them to? Well, maybe not.
I've got nothing written down.
Well, Debbie said she knew first. Go on then, Debbie.
Nerve centre.
Okay. Debbie, your question.
Yes.
What did Robson say to the doctor when they met in the foam-filled room?
Come in, doctor. We've been waiting for you.
Right, there's a score update coming with a very limited amount of questions.
Don't bother.
And France have got a free kick. And Payet is going to take it and he may well score. I should really put a bet on, shouldn't I? But I haven't got time. Right, so the scores are in last place with no points. It's Andy. In fourth place with 13 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 17 points, it's Mary. In second place with 18 points, it's me. And then the lead with 25 points. It's Smarty Pants, Debbie. Okay, we've got a handful of questions.
Debbie, you should say yourself.
I hate doing that. It goes against Britishness.
No, it doesn't.
This means
it's just suicide.
You realize that Adam's going to end up winning.
How can I? I didn't choose her. Oh, I did actually, didn't I? Thanks, Kirby. Okay, next question is a free-for-all. Three of these free-for-all questions. First one to pipe up with knowing the answer. We'll get to answer it. Here we go. First question is, why did the doctor advise Jamie and Victoria to mind the rig stairs? We've gone very quiet. Could be me getting some points here.
Is it because they were slippy?
Oh,
or not.
God, that's pretty It was obvious,
yes. Debbie, that's brilliant. I would take my hat off.
Not that brilliant, if you think about it in the wider scheme of things.
Yeah, but it was kind of obvious, you know, foam slippy. Yeah. It's like, is it like that?
It's funny that nobody's got any extra points for comedy answers, although I did forget that. That was me. I should have got extra points there, but I didn't. Okay, next question, the penultimate question is this. What would happen if you stood in front of the speakers, according to the doctor?
I'm a play joker,
get
eardrums blown out. It's something like that. Ah, bollocks.
Excellent.
4 points.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
And the sound will cut you to pieces.
Yeah.
Well, essentially you get half of that joker. So that's good. Right, so I get one half. Kirby gets the other half. Well done. Last question is this. What was the last thing Victoria said to the doctor? You won't get this one.
To the doctor.
Two words. What was the last thing Victoria said to the doctor?
Goodbye, doctor.
Another point for me.
Good night, doctor.
Another point for me.
I'm sorry.
Too late. Yes, it was indeed too late. And too late for you. It was, I'm sorry, was the answer. Yes. Okay, right. So, Mary chose Debbie. Let's do a score update. In last place, with no points, was Andy.
I double no points, so I get bottom.
And fourth place, with 15 points, was Kirby. In third place, with 17 points, is Mary. In second place, with 22 points, is me. And currently in the lead, with 27 points, is Debbie.
We know what's going to happen, so...
So, Mary's points of 17 are doubled to 34, I believe. Kirby's points of 15 are doubled to 30. Andy's points of 0. Yeah, well, that just stays where it is. Debbie's points of...
0 points
before. Debbie's of
yes, yeah.
27 oh. points. Stay at 27 because she chose me. And my points of 27 double to 54. So therefore, the final scores this week are in last place with no points.
Yay!
Is Andy. In fourth place with 27 points is Debbie. In third place with 30 points is Kirby. In second place with 34 points is Mary. But the winner this week, and back in form, it's me with 54. Get in!
Yeah.
I'm voting Romaine, funny enough, but don't tell anyone. Right, I'll explain though. I don't want to talk too much about politics, but I'll explain why I'm voting Romaine, and even the wife doesn't know this. And I don't want to dwell on this. The reason I'm voting Remain, it's simple as this. Better the devil, you know.
Exactly. As I say, you get fitting in the tent out and out the tent in.
If we opt out, we're in sort of unknown territory, really, because it's not 1972 now.
Didn't Norway say don't do it?
Yeah, and they're not even in it. So, yeah. No, it's a stupid thing to do. I can't see how they're even considering it, because it's a big, big risk. It's too much of a gamble.
It's from the NHS debacle, that's all.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, moving on. Right, so the last thing we've got to look at is sponsors and news. Now, Debbie, you're very good at doing the sponsorship side. Stop yawning.
I decided to stop throwing up in the corner.
Oh, got something to come out. He said, after Alan T. Butcher said, after Is That Garm, as in reference to magic, he said, sorry, no, it's Adam. Rick Stevens joined, slightly late, never mind. And then Alan T. Butcher said, Kylie should be a Remain advocate.
What?
Kylie should be a Remain.
Kylie was in the Titanic, wasn't she? So, is it going to do with us? I don't know. Does it make sense?
Better the devil you know. There we go. One of my favourite tunes. I think Sonia did a song called Better the Devil You Know, by the same writers, completely different song. And it wasn't anywhere near as good as Kylie's. Thank you, Mary. Yes, the
whowon.co.uk.
No, Magic stunk the room out with his fishy bottom smell. Right, what we've got in whowon.co.uk. I haven't even drunk anything tonight apart from some Diet Pepsi. Sorry, Pepsi Max. Yeah, we've got...
TARDIS chopping board. I really want it.
You really want it, do you?
Yeah,
Tom, really wants the TARDIS chopping board.
You really want it, do you, Debbie?
Yeah, Tom's just put some cheesecake in front of me.
Oh, that's what you really want, not the TARDIS chopping board. Hang on, I'm getting confused. Do you want the TARDIS chopping board,
yes,
or do you want what food's been put down? Oh, you want both, do you?
Yeah.
But what was the, I only want that. What was that all about then? Oh, the cheesecake. Right. Latest products. A Doctor Who magazine, Special Adventures in History. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm just looking at
£9.99. You can buy it from whowon.co.uk. Oh, this sonic screwdriver. 1 minute, it's not working very well, and then it'll suddenly go off. How is that doing that? Anyway, if you live in America, you can get that a lot quicker by ordering it from Who Won. Slightly more expensive, but you get it quicker.
Although it's got me on the front.
Well, you're on the front, are you? How did you get on the front of it?
Lady me on the front, then.
Lady you. Well, how did you get on? I don't understand. Anyway, also you can buy the 12th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, £14.99. As I'm modelling here, if you're watching the feed, you can see me. Hang on, let's get another function going.
I have to get it's so Sonic cool. Christmas.
Oh. Why is that not working all of a sudden? My down one's not working. Oh, it's not working. There we go.
Lemon meringue cheesecake. I'm being smoked.
Come on.
Wow.
Mary, my sonic's not working.
Is there wood around?
Oh, it's because I'm pressing too hard. Look, isn't that cool? Look. Do you know why it wasn't working? Because I was pressing too hard. I do like this one. It's because it's got so many different functions. Yeah, so you can get one of them, £14, if you go to whowon.co.uk.
That's not bad.
No, it isn't, plus postage. I think we should all be...
Someone will be selling some of them next week.
I think we should all be issued with one of these, you know. They're very easy to fiddle around with. I've lost my 11th Dr. Sonic. I must be in the car. I used to keep it in the car. Anyway, or the CARDIS. So you got Gallery of Ghouls, which is a big Finnish story starring Tom Baker and Lala Ward. Oblivion.
I'm so gutted to not meet Lala.
Well, that's your own bloody fault for not hanging around. Yeah. Oblivion. Kirby. Yeah.
I'm not home.
Oblivion by Scott Gray et al. Looks like some sort of comic thing. Time of the Doctor.
Clashes with a new host of enemies in his latest collection of classic adventures.
See how I threw my voice there? And Trouble with Drax, which is, that'd be quite interesting. It's about Drax, the one who knew the Doctor's nickname. John Corney. That's a big Finnish story starring Tom Baker and Lala Ward. Two Masters, starring Sylvester McCoy. Who's the master in that? I'm quite interested by this.
I don't know, have another.
I can't read it. Oh, Jeffrey Beavers. Jeffrey Beavers.
I'm sorry.
Who the two masters are?
Oh, it's the Jeffrey Beavers and the
Alan McQueen?
Something like that, yeah.
Alex McQueen. Yeah. There we go.
Dr. Bounty, isn't it?
Yeah. And Vampire of the Mind, starring Colin Baker.
It's the Alex McQueen master.
Trivially friend of the show, Colin Baker. So those items are available at whowon.co.uk. And also, if you go to vasi.com,
do you get a discount?
My favorite of our sponsors.
where did it start from?
What did you say?
Where did
it
start from?
I think it was something like.
Next, I strongly suspect that next week, wandering around Concus Derberus, I'll have people coming over and asking to pet the scarf.
Yes,
they have the last two conventions I've been to.
Along with the Doctor Who products you can get at the bar, there are some.
Mary?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, unicorns be at Concus?
Yes. Hey. Can you please take a picture of you both wrapped in the scarf, but please wear it.
Sure.
Yes, anyway.
Mary, will Paul McGampy be there?
Will who be there?
Will who, precisely? By the way, Alan T. Butcher says, do like Lavazzi, but he spelt Lavazzi wrong. He's got a Z in it.
Colin and Fraser are the main guests, and also Andrew will be there.
Colin won't want to talk to us again. We're mad.
Speak for yourself.
Alan.
Alan T. Butcher says, pet the scarf, another euphemism.
There you go.
Star Trek. Alan. Star Trek stuff available at Lavazzi. Some lovely bits and pieces that I would be honoured to own, along with the Doctor Who items, like the scarf that Kirby keeps on harking on about. A scarf that Alan T. Butcher himself also owns. The other thing that Debbie's going to talk about, because my throat's getting dry, it is... the way you can get yourself a free audiobook. Isn't that right,
Deb? Free audiobook for today and enjoy your first listen free. With a free trial with audible.co.uk/20MB, you can get onto audible.co.uk and choose from a plethora of books to listen to, and you get a free trial for 30 days, then pay only $7.99 a month.
There you go. That's a challenge for Alan T. Butcher. You've said plethora. Let's see if Alan T. Butcher can find a more elaborate word that means the same
plethora.
Thing.
Okay, oodles.
That's not more elaborate.
I know, but it's funnier. 200,000 plus titles, and it really is a worthy thing to do. You don't have to stay with them, but you get to keep your free book, but it is definitely worth it because you get up to 70% off additional audiobooks, and it's brilliant.
Excellent.
I enjoy using Audible.
Good. So do I when I get a chance. Okay, that's really about it. Next week we have got. That's not in my diary.
Yes, it is. You said you put it in there. Weeks
I did,
ago.
But it's not. All it says is the 26th of June. Nothing. What happened there? Must have deleted itself. Hang on, it's not on the, I haven't put it on 26th of July by mistake, have I?
Maybe.
No, I better put it in, otherwise I'll forget. Right. Con Custerberus.
Yeah, what time your time, Kirby?
Mary? Our standard recording time.
Oh, is it? Oh, cool. That makes life a bit easier for me then. Goody,
yes,
goody.
We do that deliberately.
Thank you,
so
Kirby.
But
trouble is, though, what's the chance of Andy either being off his face or asleep? Halfway through the show.
That was not Con Custerberus.
Yes, but he's going to even things out somewhere along the line, isn't he?
Yes.
No.
We're going to get Jason on and Nicole and.
No, not unless they're actually there. No, I'm not going to get.
That's what I meant. If they're there.
Oh, okay. No extra
Jason,
people on the
Jason will definitely be there.
Yeah,
oh, good.
There
you that's
go.
All right.
Get Jason up, and if Nicole's there, then she was feeling a bit lonely the last one for some reason. And
why?
No, she needs to become more embraced.
Seen Sunday's schedule to know, are we the last thing that happens before they close up shop?
No.
Well, that's what happened last time, hadn't it?
Yeah, we were.
No, there's still stuff.
Oh, Alan T. Butcher's come up with a word.
Or something.
Debbie.
I'm scheduled on a panel immediately after the podcast. I've already said I'm going to have to skip out on because I have to get Julia back.
Debbie.
Okay.
Debbie.
Yes.
Right. Auntie Push has come up with a word, and if you can guess what the word is that means what you said, plethora, I'll forfeit my victory in the quiz. And it begins with M.
Begins with M.
One go. Oi! If you believe on your microphone, you'll get all your points deducted, even though it didn't make a difference. Today would be nice.
It means plethora.
Yes.
Multiplication or something like that.
Oh, close, but not close enough. It was multiplicity. Bad luck.
Oh, it tells me why I'm not watching the feed because it makes me sound like a Cyberman.
I even gave it long enough for Alan to actually message you the answer. So I thought
no,
it was very good
didn't.
To be. Oh. Sonic's just gone off again. I'm just scratching myself with it. Right, so next week, yes, Con Custerberus, but it does give us a couple of weeks to watch. I think it's, is it Weird in Space or something like that?
Wheel in Space.
Yes. Wheel in space. A couple of weeks to watch that particular story, which is partly...
I will be sending in my feedback because I will be on vacation.
Okay. Well, it'll be partly a reconstruction and partly available to view, so...
Where
am I going?
Yeah.
Missouri.
Misery? No,
you're going far away.
We've always wanted to do a what we're calling our Grand River vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Kansas City and we're going to the Truman Library and the World War I Museum, which is in Kansas City for some reason, and also for interest of mine, we're going to see the location of the first Walt Disney Studio.
Cool.
And then we're cutting across the northern part of Missouri. We're going to stop in this town called Hamilton, Missouri, which is entirely quilt shops. And I'm going to have to drag my wife away because she's going to want to buy everything. And then an hour later, we're going to stop in Marceline, Missouri, which was Walt Disney's hometown when he was a child. And it's got all sorts of stuff there, including the Walt Disney Family Museum, not Family Museum, the Walt Disney Museum. This has got lots of stuff about him. Then we're going to St. Louis, do the Gateway Arch and all that stuff. And my youngest daughter is coming with us, and she and I are going to this really wacky museum called the City Museum, which is basically a giant play area for grown-ups.
Yay!
look up City Museum St. Louis. It's amazing.
I'm going to. I'm going to do that right now. But at the moment, I'm looking at a picture of Zoe apparently being menaced by the Cybermen, and they seem to be wearing suits.
Anyway.
And then we're stopping at just various other things like Big Spring, Missouri, and...
Anyway.
The real museum or something, was it? What was it
the
called?
City Museum.
Stop getting distracted. What? It's now time for news. Yeah. Oh, there's no volume on that.
So I will be missing 2 weekends. I don't know whether or not we'll be recording the next Space Pirates the week after.
Oh, I don't mind. All right, a moment in time. Farewell, Stephen. Apparently, Stephen Taylor left Doctor Who on the 18th of June 1966.
Oh, he's trying to get on with it, huh?
And Peter Capaldi, heaven sent, in the ballot for an Emmy. So the first round of ballots have been issued for this year's Television Academy renowned Emmy Awards. And for the first time in its 53-year history, Doctor Who has been represented as Peter Capaldi has been listed with the Best Drama Actor category for his performance as the Doctor. How about that then? Not interested, are they? Not interested at all.
Very cool.
It looks like Matthew Waterhouse has joined Doctor Who as part of his original, casting as Adric with Tegan and Nyssa on the course of
Fifth
Doctor.
Yes, I saw that this course of the week.
They've already achieved one box set already.
Mm. So that is exceptionally cool because everybody hates Adric, apparently apart from me, who I actually quite liked Adric as a character. I just liked him. He was supposed to be quite annoying, but I quite liked him as a bridging character, between Tom Baker and Peter Davison. I just like that bridge that he built on that thing. And I at the time he got killed off, I would have hoped he could have stayed on as a character. I found him quite an interesting character. And they could have actually sort of built his character a little bit. He was only slightly annoying. There's been more annoying characters in Doctor Who than Adric. Sorry, but it is the case. So I'll be intrigued to hear some a big finish, especially him, obviously, now in his 40s. Trying to play a character.
Young teenager.
No, I love young people. I have a load of them in my family. BBC has released details of forthcoming writers and guest appearances for the next series of Doctor Who, due to start filming in Cardiff on Monday week from the 14th of June. So it's probably the end of June, isn't it? Matt Lucas will be reprising his role as Nardole. So that's good news, isn't it? For which he played in the Christmas special
when,
The Husbands of River Song.
When that was first announced, a lot of people on Facebook went, really?
What's wrong? Really? I like Matt Lucas.
He was quite fun in that.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't have that reaction, but a lot of people did.
Also, Stephen Moffat says he's delighted and slightly amazed to be welcoming Matt Lucas back to the TARDIS. And this time it's not just for Christmas. He's sticking around. In fact, if he was a companion, that would be quite entertaining, I think. One of the greatest comedy talents on the planet Earth is being unleashed.
How's he getting out of that? That
wiggly wobbly, timey wimey. Quite foot. He's also writing the first episode in a new series, which will be directed by Lawrence Goff, who directed Pearl McKee's introduction as Bill in Friend from the Future, which I hope we get. Get to have that particular mini pod. It wasn't very good though. But I mean. I don't buy DVDs anymore for Doctor Who. I just sort of buy the online stuff. So whether we actually get that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of online stuff now.
Further writers announced this series are Sarah Dullard, who wrote last year's Feast of the Raven, Oh Dear, and Mike Bartlett.
Nothing wrong with that. I totally enjoyed it.
No, I know a lot of people didn't like it, did they?
Yeah.
And writer multi-award-winning Dr. Foster and veteran Doctor Who writer Mark Gatiss. There you go. So it also says, in addition to Lucas, Stephanie Hyam has also been announced for a guest role in the new series. And she was in the New Year's Day Sherlock as Jane, and also played Charlotte in Peaky Blinders and Lily Clark in Jekyll and Hyde.
Peaky Blinders.
Love Peaky Blinders.
And the Doctor Who official has tweeted a photograph of the name tags for script reading session with Pearl McKee and, was it Mackie? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yes.
And Peter Capaldi. It would be nice if one day they could actually get some main actors in Doctor Who that people could actually pronounce the names properly and easily.
Yeah, Debbie Melrose has got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Oh, no, but according to the website, your daughter is called Melrose. I keep pointing out to Yeah,
well, of course I do, because it's silly.
He spelled my son's name wrong for about 3 months, and finally got it
right. The Prime Minister, shush, be quiet. The Prime Minister has been made a dame. Yes, actress Penelope Wilton has been made a dame in the 2016 birthday honours list. Obviously, the Queen's 90th birthday honours list.
Brian Blessed, MBE.
Indeed. Yes. And somebody who got a knighthood. Rod Stewart, didn't he? Sir Rod.
Brilliant.
He's a top entertainer, that chap. Only is he a top entertainer, he's a bloody top bloke too. I have a lot of respect for Rod Stewart. Yeah. And if you see his missus, she was on Loose Women, just talking about him, and she burst into tears. She loves him so much. I think it's wonderful. Don't be absurd. His current missus, the one he's been married to for about probably longer, probably altogether, he's been married to her than he was all his other wives combined, I think. But yeah, great bloke, Rod Stewart. I was hoping they were going to get him in the festival, actually, because he'd be entertaining.
We saw him a couple of 3 years ago to the Torquay birthday present, and he's such a show. What I love about him, he's a big football fan. He at the end of his contract, he kicked football to the crowd, and he walked down to the same enclosure, put in a wheelchair, he gave every person in a football personally. I thought what a great gesture that was. You know, they couldn't catch the balls, but he gave everybody in a wheelchair.
He's a proper talent. His voice may not be as it was when he was younger, but he's still exceptionally good. I wouldn't buy any of his records, but I just really admire him.
He's showman. He is. Yeah,
he's got that thing when even though I wouldn't buy his records, but if you're watching him, it's one of those things you have to really watch, isn't he, Rod Stewart? Because he's just a performer, entertainer, as in something rather than a recording artist. I just like him as a sort of, you know, a visual entertainment.
They
were bloody superb at the Isle of Wight Festival.
Well, we saw them like 4 or 5 years ago at Guildfest. And they're superb. They know how to do a show. Mm. Everything with them, 2.5 hours, superb.
I was at the front for Status Quo. Anyway.
Maybe next year, maybe Stormy.
No, he won't be back next year. That was their last tour. Right, so I think we'd better knock it on the head because it's 2 hours and 10 minutes into this recording and I said I wanted it done by 9:30. I'm blaming Kirby for sort of sidetracking quite a lot during this. I mean, it makes me worry a little bit whether anybody's going to get a word in edgeways next week, but I don't care because it's going to be quite good fun, isn't it, Kirby? With that in mind, we're actually going to do two shows in consecutive weeks.
In the main room, we'll be in a side room as usual, so it's going to be a little more intimate.
So you're going to have somebody outside shepherding people in.
It's not going to be as crazy as Con GT. In fact, I've asked us to be moved back to a smaller room for next Con GT.
Have you?
Because it was just too noisy.
Okay.
Right, but we can get the room with the cricket as well, so that's good.
Yes. So, with that in mind, thank you for listening to the show and watching it if you're on the Facebook, or two of you. hope you join us again next week. Goodbye!
Goodbye,